This is Erin.
This is Jessica.
And this is episode 130 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Good evening.
Welcome to October.
Oh my gosh, I was getting ready and looking at my notes and I'm like, this can't possibly still be on my list to talk about with you because I did that in August.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. It has. So, yeah. Just a couple things.
Yeah.
Cardi Party is happening.
Woohoo.
September 1st through November 30th. Tag Your Stuff Cardi Party 2017. Join anytime. People are making cardigans.
Yes.
I made almost an entire cardigan and then I ripped it out. And now I'm starting a different one. I feel like this is an extension of last year somehow. Where everybody had like issues with their sweaters.
Yeah, remember? There were a lot of problems.
Hannah. Hi, Hannah. Hannah re-knit the one she knit last year because she had problems with it. And she finished it, I think.
Good
Congratulations.
Job. Good job.
So that's happening. And it's definitely sweater weather now. So
Here at least. Yeah.
Which I like.
Yes.
And then I wanted to talk about two different charity things. One, if you're in the Seattle area, send me chonies. If you don't know what that is, playing for underwear. I'm collecting
new underwear, please.
Don't like slingshot them at me either because that'll make me mad. Mary's Place is a charity it's an organization for women who are homeless and women and families who are homeless and struggling and trying to get back on their feet. They have various things that you can like set up a drive for, and I decided that I wanted to collect for underwear for women, so that's bras and underwear, and kids' underwear for boys and girls in all sizes. So if you're in the Seattle area and you like to shop, or you're just like at Fred Meyer and you're like, oh, just pick these up and give them to Erin, that's cool. You can message me on Instagram. You can find that through my Ravelry page or via Ravelry. And I work downtown. And I am mobile, so I'm happy to, like, pick them up from you or figure out a way to pick those up. And I'm going to donate those probably at the end of the month and then choose something else to, like, get for them and deliver. So, the second one that I've been doing a ton of knitting for is the Friends of Pine Ridge organization. Pine Ridge is a reservation in North Dakota, I apologize. I just got my Dakotas mixed up. I believe it's North Dakota.
North is the one on top.
Yes, I understand how the boxes work, the stack up. But like, which...
I'm just being a jerk.
Which there is a picture. You are being a jerk. They're the
low-hanging fruit.
They're the poorest, poorest county in the United States. The annual median income is $2,600 to $3,500 per year.
Gosh.
Per year, not, you know, per month. I'd be like, okay, cool. That's all right. But per year. So they have a very easy to navigate website. And they're very clear about the things they need. You can purchase through Amazon and have it shipped directly. I'm knitting a bunch of stuff and sending it because they serve a bunch of different kind of organizations within there. There's like CPS, there's foster care, there's like the hospital, there's schools. So there's all kinds of stuff. They want like pretty much anything and everything that's new. They accept gently used things. They also accept like homemade items, sewn or knitted or crocheted. Okay. So I'm knitting a bunch of stuff. And it does not have to be super wash. You just have to tag it what the fiber content is. Mm-hmm. And you could write on it that it's like machine washable or hand wash or whatever. Cause a lot of people don't have, washing machines
right.
And dryers and stuff. So, I am sending stuff to that. Wherever you are, you can send stuff. You can find all the information on their website. But if you're in the Seattle area, you have stuff that you want to send, that like knitwear that's new or gently used. Like I've been cleaning up some of Audrey's stuff she's grown out of, like sweaters that she wore for like 2 seconds because she grows like a weed. Mm-hmm. I've been like replacing buttons and cleaning stuff, and I'm going to send that too. Oh,
cool.
So you can contact me about that too, because I'm a given fool.
Cool.
Yes. So those are just like things to make the world better. You can help. And now we're going to talk about knitting.
All right.
Instead of me venting about Facebook.
All right. Well, let's see. I finished Find Your Fade.
Yay!
It is, no joke, 9 feet long.
That's the best. How tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
I love it.
It's real big.
I love it.
It's pretty. It's real big. So then I finished that and I was like, oh, thank God I'm done with that. So then I finished How I Roll Socks, which I think I talked about having started last time we recorded. Uh-huh. And mine are not like beautiful fades like most people, all blended colors. Mine are just kind of stripey. I used a lot of the leftovers from my Boosta Beanie, but they came out really cute. So I was happy with those.
They did come out cute.
And it's the first time I finished a pair of socks in like 2 years.
Oh my God.
I know, I just haven't been knitting socks at all. I
can barely close my sock drawer.
I know. I think that's what happened to me though. Like I reached a point where I had so many socks. I was mm-hmm. like, holy cow, like stop it with the socks, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped and now with my, you know, I wear a uniform to work, so I wear black socks every day to work, and I'm not going to hand knit.
You don't want to knit socks. Black socks.
So, you know, I just wear store-bought socks to work, and then mm-hmm. I don't, like, come home and, like, change it. Just, you know, so I just don't need that many non-work socks.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, like, over time, like, some of my socks have worn out, or maybe, you know, something's happened, or tore or something, I just haven't felt a burning need to replace them. But anyway, those came out. They're cute. They fit. Yay. I had dyed some yarn a while ago, just on a lark. I was trying to do like kind of a speckle thing. It totally didn't work out. And then I just dyed it really, really deep blues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a single that was created by, a local dyer who's not in business any longer here, but it used to be a Lollipop Cabin for locals who remember her, like, fluffy sock,
mm-hmm.
which she kind of built as an organic. It was local, but so it's a very fluffy, as the name suggests, single, non-superwash, just a blend of different breeds.
She was, like, off the grid and stuff, too,
yeah,
right?
She was, like, dying with rainwater, and she lived in a cabin, but she would go to local farms and collect fleece and then have it spun into this yarn. So, so I've dyed a bunch of it and, I'm making braids made by Martina Beam. Just because, Kathy was going to Berlin this summer and she's like, I'm trying to figure out what to do for my travel knitting. And I'm like, you have to do Brickless because it's a perfect travel project because
mm-hmm.
it's, that perfect Martina Beam pattern mix of like fairly brainless, but stuff keeps happening. So
mm-hmm.
like, you don't get super bored, but you also don't have to really pay a ton of attention. But also Brickless was part of the, like that World Traveler series
mm-hmm.
that Miss Babs used to do. And it was the one that was inspired for Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I was like, you have to. So she did it. And then I got all jealous. I'm like, she's knitting a Martina Beam pattern. I want to knit a Martina Beam pattern. Cause her patterns, I mean, I think there's only the third or fourth one of hers that I've knit, but I just love them. Cause they are just always that perfect balance of like, you don't have to think hard. There's nothing that much going on, but you can't, like, you don't just do the same boring thing over and over again, but the results are always really interesting. Like,
yeah.
She's a very clever designer, like,
mm-hmm.
and her stuff, it's always, like, kind of a fun journey on her stuff, so.
Yeah. I also really like Berlin because it works well with variegated yarn, so.
Yeah.
Because it's like a mesh and a garter, right?
There's like a rib and a garter and then a mesh.
Right.
And then it's done in little sawtooth. I knit one many years ago. I remember I got it. The pattern was sent to me as a birthday gift from my friend Steph. Hi, Steph. And I, like, got the pattern, and I downloaded it, and I grabbed yarn, and I cast on, like, immediately. Because I was like, yes! I'm excited for this. And I love knitting it. Anyway, so that's what I'm working on that. That's kind of my at-home project, though. It's not great for taking around with me because there's only one cable you do every 8 rows. But it's really dark, fluffy yarn, and you need a cable needle because it's a 16-stitch cable. And so it's just been sitting next to my computer, so I'm making pretty slow progress on it. And then beyond that, I've been doing boring, like I did a Helix hat. I'm knitting a little handspun hat. Jody was destashing some handspun yarn, and I was like, I will knit hats from that. So I'm just doing a plain handspun hat. And I think I mentioned the last time we recorded, like, 6 weeks ago, that I'd started Margaret in the Wind, which is this color, and I still have finished knitting the brim. It's like agony. It's on 000s. The gauge is this like bulletproof, like 10 stitches to the inch or something crazy. And oh my gosh, I'm knitting, like I knit on it for like, I've been taking it to knitting on Monday nights just because like I can't, you know, I'm really forced to work on it. But it makes such slow progress because I have that like super compact row gauge for whatever reason. And it just does not grow. And it's like, I only needed like 4 centimeters of stockinette. And it took me like weeks to get there because I'd knit on it for like an hour and be like, oh, this sucks. And for a while I was forcing myself, like, if I'm going to watch TV, I'm going to knit on this thing. And it still didn't grow. It's like not growing at all.
It won't grow until it's too long.
Well, and then I just, I can't wait. Like, I just want to switch to the big needle for the pattern, which is a 0, and start the color work. But no, I'm stuck on the 000.
That 0 is a sweet spot. Let me tell you.
I know. Well, this hat I'm knitting right now is on a 6, and it feels so humongous. I'm like, ooh, look at these giant needles. Look, I knit rounds and it grows. It looks bigger when I
it's pretty yarn.
Isn't it pretty? Jody brought this to
this some of the handspun.
This is handspun from Crown Mountain, which is no longer in business.
Really nice.
But they used to dye their own fiber, and then they went through several iterations for a while. It was a husband and wife. She used to do some spinning, so I don't know if this is her spinning, but I know they also used to have other spinners spin yarn for them as well. So I think this is their really handspun pretty. Merino, and it's very, it's not nothing I would have picked out because it's autumny. It's really pretty though. It's very autumny. It's like rusty browns, oranges.
It's a little bit pinky.
Yeah.
That could just be the light.
Yeah. It's a little bit, but it's mostly, it mostly reads like autumny.
Yeah.
It's kind of perfect for this time of year. It's like bright oranges with rusty oranges and some more reddish tones. Anyway, but I love knitting with anyone's handspun. That's definitely something that gives me, knitting something simple in handspun yarn is very pleasurable for me. Anyway,
okay.
So that's everything I've been doing, which is not a mucho.
Okay.
I don't know I feel like I come home and I pick up my knitting and I knit a little bit. Oh, I was trying to figure out like, why have I gotten so little done? But I've been doing a ton of cooking lately, which is something that I've been lamenting not doing for years, like menu planning and cooking. So I'm finally doing that. But I find that if I have
a day off,
I know. If I have a day off, I get to have days off, but when I have a day off, it's like 3 grocery store trips and a day in the kitchen. And I'm just I'm stocking the freezer, I'm stocking the fridge. I'm just kind of on a mission to have good food at the ready. So, so that's been eating up a lot of my time. That's my excuse. Not that I've been like, you know, looking at Facebook endlessly. That is definitely not why I haven't got anything done.
Nope. Social media is not a time suck. I don't know.
Not at all. Not at all. So what you been doing?
A lot of stuff.
I see that.
Hold on. Let me grab this hat.
Okay.
Right here, because I'll show that to you. I knit, this is called The Hat. It's by Ann Weaver. It's kind of like this kind of arrow thing.
Like a faux cable-y thing.
Yeah, it's from the White Whale Volume 2.
Yeah.
I knit one of these a while ago.
Okay.
And I've been trying to work through like partial skeins of stuff.
Yeah. So what was this guy?
It's on my Ravelry
page. Blue.
Yeah. it's supposedly a figurine.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, you guys. My cat is, like, she turned 21 this year. And if she doesn't have someone next to her on the sofa and somebody has left the room, like, Noah left, she will sometimes yell. So, she might be yelling at my back at some point while we're recording, and it's really freaking loud, so she seems content right now, but she's, like, really senile, so. Jeez.
All right, so some partial skin is something. Did you use it all up?
No. Ah. I still have, like, 60 or 80 yards.
Oh, wow.
I might stripe it in for like a kid's hat or something. Yeah. This, it said it was, I remember it saying that it was supposed to be fingering, but it's more like a sport because I knit this on a 3 and it makes a really nice fabric. There's my hair. But it also has, I like this hat pattern because it has short rows. It has a set of short rows. Oh. So I blocked it. So you can't wait there. Like it's a little bit shorter on one side. Yeah. So it has a natural slouch back if you put it on that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise it would tilt forward, which is not great. But I really like it. That's for Pine Ridge.
Cool.
Toss it over there. I knit two pairs of socks. I knit what I called my farewell to summer socks, which is in fishnets. And it was a mini skein gradient set that I got from my California retreat. They're actually blocking over here so I can grab them. Back here
because
then the cat won't get back there.
Here.
Oh,
cute.
Yes. So this is, I mean, it's not really my normal.
Are there a million? Not at all. Are there a million ends then?
They're like
a million.
So the set, I think, was 6 or 7, but I didn't use the last set because I, you know, they fit my foot before
this is
I
really went cute. To the like little thing. Speckle that's like purples into greens and back into purples and into orange. Like oranges.
And then the last one that I didn't kinda use. Is like very greeny brown that goes in there, but I didn't use it. So I got this from the California retreat because every year they have like a special yarn they have dyed for them.
Oh, right.
And I ordered this and then I picked it up at the retreat and then I was putting stuff away and I found it like, you know, 3 months later. I was like, I'll just cast those on. So I just did like a plain vanilla sock. And what I really liked about her. This set is you don't have to like stripe in. She dyes it, so you just knit, and it naturally does this.
You know, you just reminded me. Slight change of subject. Something I did since the last time we recorded was just on a. I'm friends with Sarah Eyre on Facebook, and she used to be one half of Sanguine Griffin, and then she had Cephalopod Yarns, and she has 2 craftsy classes on dyeing, and her first one was sort of. An introduction to dyeing, and I had read the description. It didn't sound like it was really something that I would get a lot out of because it was more for like someone who had not dyed before.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a new one that's like next steps in yarn dyeing, something to that effect. And she does a couple of different ways to do gradient dyeing.
Oh, cool!
So that was it was fun. It was really informative. I don't remember. I'm that person who's like I buy a craftsy class like. Totally gonna watch this, and I watch it for like 10 minutes, and then I wander off, and then like six months later, I'm like, But this one, I just like I watched it straight through. Like it was really interesting, just to watch her technique. She does cover some like speckle stuff and gradients, and anyway. But if you're interested in dyeing, I haven't seen her first class, but given the quality of her second class, I would say a real safe bet to watch that. Really informative and
cool.
And she has a lovely, soothing voice.
That's good. Not like a honking goose in your ear or something.
Not a grating New Yorker like me.
So I knit those. I'm really happy with them. They were fun to knit. There are more ends to weave in than normal, but that's fine. And then I knit a pair of sport weight socks. It's the So Simple Sport Socks by Glenna C. It's a free pattern. I used some really old Noro sock from, like, when that first came out.
Yeah.
Because that came out in fiberglass, right? Yeah. So that's been kicking around my stash for a while. I knit them while I was camping.
Is it just, like, a plain sock? Or
It's, like, rib and cable.
Oh, okay.
Like, cable on, like, the outside of the leg. Okay. And then ribbing the rest of it on, like, size 3s or something.
Oh.
I mean, really easy. Those are going in a charity box at some point because they're like, I knit them like my size, so they'll probably go, I'll probably tag them to give to an elder at Pine Ridge because you can do that. I knit a ton of hats. So I knit Maze, which is a free pattern from Tin Can Knits, out of a partial skein of some 220. I was knitting that the last time we recorded. It was like a really bright blue.
Oh, that bright one. Yeah.
And then I knit like some other just like plain vanilla hats. Like I cast them on and then did stripes just to use up stuff. They're cute. They're like straight Cascade 220 or Cascade 220 Superwash with Classic Elite Crestone, which is a marl. It's like a natural, two shades of natural, so it's like kind of beigey gray and a white.
I just remembered something I forgot to mention too. I'm just making a note. Go ahead.
Okay. I really like knitting with that yarn. That's all. And I knit another hat, but I don't remember what the yarns were. But they're just like, you know, they're like kid-size hats that I'm going to send to Pine Ridge. I knit cacti for my cubicle because I changed jobs back in at the end of June. And my cubie as they're called, is still kind of bare. I took some pictures and some artwork that Audrey did, but I wanted like something kind of bright and cheerful on the shelf that I have. That I didn't have to worry about getting sunlight because I'm like kind of on the inside of the office, not directly near windows. And I didn't have to water. So I knit this free pattern
for cacti.
And I have to assemble the last one. So it's three. It's like a short round one, like one of the taller straight ones that look phallic kind of, and then one that's kind of like the bobbly kind that has like the different arms and stuff on it. And then you have to sew that one together, but I ran out of fiber fill, so I have to pick more up.
You should have told me I could have brought some. I seem to buy it, like, I must have had, like, a, you know, like, where I only needed it every, like, 6 years, and each time I was like, oh, I'll get a bag. And then you find all the bags, and you have, like, six of them, and they're all, like, have one handful taken out. I should have brought some.
A ton of it. So I need to sew that up and stuff it. I finished Marion by Andy Satterland that I was knitting for her. But she's in New Zealand right now. So.
I saw that,
yeah. Yeah. On a trip visiting our friend Jamie, which I'm super jealous about. And then the last thing I finished, the Elegant Ribbed Stockings by Ann Budd. I think I was working on those
when we talked last time.
Yeah. That is from that book.
Favorite Socks.
Yeah. From Interweave.
Yep.
From a long time ago. It's like came out when I first started knitting.
Yeah.
I think it had been out for a while before.
And most of them are reprints
anyway,
so they were ones that people knew from old magazines.
Yeah, and I knit those in Hey Lady Hey Classic Sock in the Cinnamon Girl colorway, and I love them. And I love all her yarn. It's great. So what I'm working on, I mentioned that I frogged that cardigan. I just had gauge issues. I was using yarn that I had pulled from, I'd taken apart a different cardigan.
The cardigan that you frogged was your Belmont?
Meyer cardigan.
Which one?
Meyer cardigan.
Oh, Meyer, right. Okay.
From Metropolitan Knits by Melissa Worley.
Okay. I was picturing the book, but I just had the name wrong.
Yeah. So I had knit the entire body and half of a sleeve, and I blocked the body, and it was like way too long, and the armholes were way too deep, and I think, because I had knit the previous cardigan that I had knit with that yarn was on a 6, and I was trying to knit it with an 8. It, like, just didn't want to work.
Yeah.
Like, even with a couple of washings and blockings and stuff. So I just pulled that out. I just stared at it for a couple days, and I was like, that doesn't want to be that. So that sweater. So I cast on, and while I was deciding on that cardigan, what I was going to do with it, I swatched with this Irish yarn I have, Olin and Aubert. Mm-hmm. And,
is this Olin the only person who sells that one?
Yes. Okay. Cause she, the woman who ran it, had an Etsy shop that she put on hold, and Isolde just bought her stock from her.
Cause there's only like two colors of it available.
Yes. Yeah. And I have the blue,
mm-hmm.
which is right there. There's my little, I only have a couple inches knit.
Cool.
So I measured my swatch and washed it and measured it like multiple times, and then just wrote up like a really simple stockinette cardigan because I only have like 5 skeins. So I can't do anything like cables or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 meaning blah, like blah, texture, yeah. lace, or whatever. So I'm going to knit the body bottom up in one piece, and then I'll divide the yarn and knit a button band, and then finish the neckline, and then split the yarn I have left and do the sleeves down, top yeah. down, set in.
Maximize your distance.
Yes, exactly. I think I just want 3/4 sleeves. The yarn is pretty, like, it's a workhorse yarn. It's not, like, soft,
mm-hmm.
Which it doesn't bother me at all. I don't have sensitive skin, but it does, it feels, you know, Donegal tweed rustic. Kind of. It's rustic. It's got little hairs. Like, when I was knitting it earlier, I had, like, all these little hairs all over my lap that had come off while I was knitting it. I'm knitting some plain vanilla socks out of Haverland self-striping. Well, it's called PAX. It's my bust knitting, like all my socks, I feel like. But it's my Halloween sock here. So it's like extra bright and crazy. Ooh. Isn't that pretty?
Is real bright and crazy.
I don't know if it's actually pretty, but I
was going to say, I would not put in the pretty. It's
black very, and gray, like, neon yellow, 80s. Magenta. That's funny you say that because it's Class of Nuke 'Em High. It's one of the Troma Troma movies.
Yeah, so. I have friends who work for Troma, actually. Really? Yeah.
So I call them my Troma socks.
Yeah.
I have fond memories of watching those at parties.
That's a very 80s colorway to me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
And then I'm knitting this little baby sweater out of some, like, partial... Well, I had, like, 2 full skeins of Dale of Norway baby ulle.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is some leftover Hey Lady Hey sock. It's super bright.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a vintage pattern from my grandma's book. It's lovable hand knits. With this probably naked baby laying in yarn.
Right.
It was my grandma's. Her name was Billy. I'm knitting this one, number 3039.
Oh, so it's a
top-down raglan with reverse
stockinette and reverse stockinette stripes for the yoke.
Okay, cool. And then some around the cuffs.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna. They have like a turned hem at the end, and I'm just gonna do ribbing or something because I don't like doing turned hems. It's fussy for a baby thing.
Yeah.
And because it's like vintage. Yarn that's not made anymore, and the pattern's not in Ravelry, I don't really have yardage amounts, so I'm just totally guessing. Knitting on a 3, and I'm into the body, and I'm almost to the end of the first skein, but this wasn't a full skein.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to knit the body down, and then...
Let's see what you got left.
And see what I have left. Oh, yeah. I might do... I have a bunch of this variegated bright stuff, so I might do reverse stockinette... On the sleeves or the cuff.
Yeah. I could do cuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like kind of Michelin Manny.
Yeah.
But
I forgot. I did have one little funny thing that I did. I had cast on a hat just in stockinette or in Cascade 220, just a plain stockinette hat that I was knitting at the movies. And when the movie was over, I realized I had knit it, like, way longer than I meant to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, man, like, do I rip it out or whatever? And I decided, like, nope, I'm not going to rip it out. I'm just going to keep knitting. So I knit a tube that was, like, twice as long as I would normally make the body of a hat before doing the decreases.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knit ribbing, and then I bound off loosely. And then I went to the middle of the hat, and I snipped one leg of one stitch and unraveled one round and put the stitches back onto needles and then knit the 2 crowns separately, which a friend of mine on Instagram dubbed the afterthought hat, which I thought was good. But it was just, you know, it's just one of those like goofy things that I find I sometimes do with knitting just because I can. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, where it's not like this was the smartest way to knit 2 hats.
I didn't really see like, you a ton of time.
You know, but I just thought, like, why rip this part out that I already knit when I can have a knitting solution to it? But anyway, it was a fun little lark when, you know, I ended up with 2 completely nondescript hats that no one would know that I had done anything weird with. To.
Yeah.
But I know that I came up with a clever little knitting solution to them, and that makes me feel better. Because let's face it, the people who look at your knitted stuff have no idea how clever you are.
This is probably true.
And that you just do it to please yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So is that like a little segue into, are we doing books next?
Yes.
Books. I read a book. Dun, dun, dun.
Is it from book club?
From book club.
Did you actually, and you finished it?
And I finished
what?
It. I know. The book is The Sympathizer, and the author is Viet Thanh Nguyen. He's Vietnamese-American, and the book is written from the point of view of a Vietnamese soldier who was actually a communist mole, but who is now writing a confession. So the whole story is him writing his confession. And, you know, don't want to like spoil any things, but, it's just, it was a really interesting, view of some aspects around the war and some aspects around, the immigrant experience. And it's just kind of interesting right now, just by coincidence, I think a lot of people have been watching the Ken Burns Vietnam War, series on PBS, which I have not watched, but, I just feel like suddenly like people are talking about the Vietnam War and mm-hmm. it's like this subject and that the experience of immigrants from Vietnam after the war, whether it's like, you know, boat people or baby lift or, mm-hmm. you know, it's various, and also the experience of now having the war being like retold yet again by, and that was one of the themes in this too, is, you know, having these stories being explained and told by white people, sort of back to mm-hmm. the Vietnam. Anyway, so a very interesting book. It won a Pulitzer, I believe. He's a really, really amazing writer. The prose is, I mean, the character who's narrating it is, very clever and very interesting. And he's certainly, it was a really interesting story. It's not, there's some pretty like horrific stuff in it. As you would expect about, you know, war and being a spy. But yeah, it was really interesting. I'm really glad I read it. And then we just started a new book, that is called Mink River, and it's by Brian Doyle. And I've only just started it, but he lives in Oregon. So it's like based in a town in Oregon. And the comparison I keep seeing, people are talking about it, comparing it to Winesburg, Ohio, where you're getting sort of vignettes, with different townspeople. And so you're learning about these people in this place through all these various different stories of people telling a story about this thing they learned from their grandfather or what's happening right now, and just interweaving all of these characters to kind of paint a picture of the town. So it looks really interesting so far and funny. So that's what I was
cool. Thinking. I read graphic novel, March, mm-hmm. book two, uh-huh. which I talked about the first book last time, which is like John Lewis's experience in politics and in the civil rights movement with like Dr. Martin Luther King and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. it's really good. The second book, he talks about the Freedom Riders and the march and kind of some of the behind the scenes stuff that was happening at the march before Dr. King gave his I Have a Dream speech, mm-hmm. And John Lewis's own speech that he gave. So it covers kind of a more, I mean, I think that they're all kind of violent, but this was like particularly violent because of the beatings of the protesters and stuff. So, it's not for kids. No. I would say like eighth grade up maybe would be good. It's really good though. And I'm excited to get the third book. So, highly recommend that reading, pertinent to today. Mm-hmm. Very well done. I read a bunch of crap and I'm not going to talk about it because it's just like filler fluff that had no effect on me whatsoever.
All right.
Except that I was reading, so that was good.
Uh-huh.
But I read The Wild Things by David Eggers, which is great. I loved it so much. And it is a novel that's based on the story of Where the Wild Things Are by Marie Sendak. David Eggers was working on the screenplay for the movie, and then this is just like a novelization with more detail and backstory than the movie contains. So, you know, it's the boy Max. He has some issues at home. He has a big fight. He runs away. He sails away on a boat to an island where there are monsters. I mean, it's like really just that story, but I felt like the emotional, like the intense emotional stuff when you're a kid in certain situations is really well done. It's also really funny and it moves really quickly. And if you're like me and you read before bed, the chapters are really short. So if you're tired, you're like, oh, this chapter is like 2.5 pages. Yeah. I can totally do this. And I read it in like 3 or 4 days.
Oh, did you see that film adaptation?
I did. Can't
remember. Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in years. I think I own it. I loved it when I saw it.
I only saw it in the theater, so I don't remember it super well. But except that it was like really visually pleasing to me.
Mm-hmm. Spike Jones.
And yeah.
But what I remember about it was that I think some people were like, "No, don't mess with." I mean, because I loved Where the Wild Things Are when I was a kid. You know how like I don't know you make these weird connections with things when you're a kid, and so. I had all these weird connections to Maurice Sendak because all of his books have a Cilium Terrier in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a Cilium Terrier. So it's like the book, the dog that he's chasing in the beginning of the book that makes his mother call him a wild thing and send him upstairs is a Cilium Terrier. And you know, he's a Jewish New Yorker, that kind of connection to it. But what I remember about when the movie came out, people were really worried, like, don't mess with this classic thing. And what I loved about it was that I felt like it was really, like, true to, like, the heart of it, and also, like, or almost delved further into, like, the emotions of the story. Mm-hmm. So I'd be really interested to read that.
I really liked it, and it's not, I felt happy after reading it. I didn't feel, like, really heavy, which is not how I want to feel right now with everything horrible going on. And, like, it made me laugh. In real life, I laugh very easily. I laugh at myself. I laugh at other people. But, like, when I'm reading, it's very, I find it very difficult to laugh at things that are happening in books. I'm like, oh, that's clever. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. But I don't, like, laugh out loud. There's also one of the chapters where he's introducing all the monsters. There's little thumbnail sketches of them, which I found very charming. So, I highly recommend it. It's a good one.
Cool.
I started listening to a new podcast. Mm-hmm. It is not knitting related. It's called That's Weird, and it's two women from Seattle. It's explicit, so if you don't like cursing, it's probably not for you. But they just talk about weird stuff, like, you know, like alien abductions, weird murders, weird sicknesses, like anything where you would hear about it, you're like, wow, that's really weird. They talk about it. And they're like 30-ish minutes. And I recommend it. They've been recording for less than a year, so they're like 30 episodes.
Huh.
So there's not a huge backlog. But they talked about, I can't remember what it's called now, that condition where your hand attacks you.
Oh, yeah.
Alien hand. I don't remember what it's called.
I know what you mean. Though. Yeah.
They talk about that in one of the episodes.
Oh, like, that is weird.
It's really weird. but it is explicit. So if you like weird stuff and you like cursing, you'll probably like it. And I like them because they're local.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them used to be Andy recommended it to me, and I was like, oh, this is great. I gotta tell everybody. And they have a cute little theme song, which I like. So check it out. That has made me laugh too. On the bus in the morning. And everyone's like, what is wrong with her? Listening to alien hand things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I'm knitting a sock.
What have you been watching?
Well, let's see. It's just one of those funny things where, like, you know, you like watch a couple things and it like all these connections kind of come to you. Mm-hmm. So I watched Everybody Wants Some, which is a Richard Linklater film. That's set in the early 80s. A kid is heading to college to play baseball. And it's just like a couple of days in his life at the beginning of college. And, you know, a lot of people have been talking about it like, oh, it's like Dazed and Confused or whatever. It was cute. I mean, my older son watched it, like, his senior year of high school, and he loved it. But, of course, he would love it because it's about a bunch of boys his age who are basically just, like, trying to have sex a lot and drink beer. So, like, yeah, that's exactly what 18-year-old boys are interested in.
I mean, besides the fact that I was, like, boy, but girl, 18, drinking beer.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty similar, too.
Yeah, no. So, it's just, it wasn't, like...
I don't think I'd enjoy that now, though.
Yeah. No, it was just... So it was cute. I mean, it had its moments. The other thing, the part I couldn't get over, though, is that I was just looking at it going, like, these actors are all, like, 28 years old. Like, not one of them looked vaguely 18, 19 really? Years old. They all looked super old. And it was just bugging me the whole time. So I was, like, finding myself, like, Googling their ages while I was watching this movie. So I'm like, what is this guy, like, 28, 29 years old? And I think maybe that also, since I had, you know, I had the kid who was like, oh, this is cool. I'm like, no, this is what dumb 19-year-old looks like, not that. but then, and so it's set in Texas. So then the next film I watched was Hell or High Water, I feel like this is a film that nobody's, like, I never heard anybody really talking about much. It was nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards last year. It is a crime story. I mean, it starts with a bank robbery. And you have two brothers who are played by, oh, I always mix up my Chris's, Chris Pine and Ben Foster, who, the film starts with them robbing a bank. Jeff Bridges is a Texas Ranger, I believe. I don't want to give too much away about what's going on in the story, but it's definitely a bit of a, it's just kind of these funny little convergences. So I just finished, or given up, I didn't quite finish Hillbilly Elegy, which I'd been reading for book club because I got so sick of it. And I just thought the author was a really boring writer. But, you know, he's writing all about, like, these death of these manufacturing towns and death of small town America. And it's in the impact that that's had on his life. And then this film was all about, like, just the death of the way of life in West Texas and ranching and just these towns that are just kind of disappearing off the map, and the people who live there. And so it was like a much more elegant, interesting, beautiful, sincere approach to that story. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But then the next thing I watched was Logan Lucky, which is the new Steven Soderbergh film, which stars, Channing Tatum and Adam Driver and Daniel Craig, who's hilarious in it. And it is about two brothers in West Virginia who are in a town where the industry has died. They, you know, were a mining family, but now there's no industry. And what do? So they plan a heist. But so where Hell or High Water is, like, absolutely treated as a drama, and Logan Lucky is practically like the same story if you made it kind of a silly comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really interesting to see them, like, right alongside each other. And I love Logan. We all love Logan Lucky. It's really funny in that weird kind of Steven Soderbergh way where there's just, like, some really long takes and some really weird bits and funny characters. A really charming cast, and just really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun to watch. But it definitely had me thinking because it just brought up all these weird similarities with Hell or High Water, even though they, like, in terms of tone, they were completely different films. And then I watched The Incredible Jessica James on, which is a Netflix. It's just a movie. It's like, it's created by and stars Jessica Williams, who's a Daily Show correspondent. And young black woman who is pursuing a career in theater as a playwright, and she's in dealing with a breakup, and she meets a guy played by Chris O'Dowd, who I love from the IT Crowd and Bridesmaids and wherever else he is. I love him. And anyway, it's really, it's cute, it's sweet. It didn't knock my socks off with originality, but I really, you know, but it's short and it's cute, so I enjoyed that. But then I just watched Insecure, which again, like, I'm pairing these things up, which is, it was season two of Insecure, which is an HBO series, which is created by Issa Rae, who had created the web series Awkward Black Girl. Mm-hmm. So it's a different, you know, young African-American woman who lives in, living in a city, who's working with kids, and Jessica James, she works with children too. And she's come on the heels of a breakup so you've got those two like basic premises, but then like completely different stories. Mm-hmm. And with Insecure, since it's a series, they're able to spin things out a lot more. That was the funny thing. When I started watching Jessica James, I didn't realize it wasn't a multi-part thing. And I'm like, this is moving really fast. Like, cause it's the sort of thing that if it were like, you know, a 12 episode series, all these little things would be dragged out. But in there, it's like, nope, we're just getting through this. We got 2 hours. Let's go. But Insecure, I really love that show. I think it's really, really funny. And I just love Issa Rae. She's so charming. And I just, like, you want her to succeed, even though she doesn't really much on that show. Anyway, so it was just kind of funny. Everything I watched, like, this is reminding me of this other thing. And it just, like, everything was sort of making little connections together for me this month. What have you been watching?
Now I finished watching season two of Fargo last night.
I still haven't finished. I like barely even got into season two. I think I only watched like the first two episodes.
It's good. It takes place in the '70s. Mm-hmm. Has Ted Danson in it, and it has a bunch of people.
Patrick
in it.
Wilson.
Oh my gosh!
And Jesse Plemons.
Everybody.
Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst is amazing, and she's so good. So I won't really get into the storyline that much because, well, it's about, like,
there's a murder. That's kind of, like, a big shooting in that first episode.
Yeah,
like,
there's a big shooting.
And then how these lives are kind of...
Yeah, it's more about, like, crime families and crime syndicate and the Dakotas. So that's where it goes with that. Yeah. But it's really good. And I like some of the split screen stuff they did. Yeah. They made it feel very 70s, which I enjoyed. But Kirsten Dunst, she's not my favorite actor ever, but I really liked her in this. And the clothes are amazing. You know how I like the costuming. It's really good. But violent. So
super violent.
Really violent. let's see. We'll talk about something silly now that I watched. I watched American Vandal, which is a series on Netflix that is a parody of all the true crime series that are happening. Basically, it's like a high school AV guy who does like AV or he helps run like the school news channel, decides to do this investigative journal thing about this kid who got expelled from school for drawing penises on all the teachers' cars. And he's just, like, not super... I mean, he's not super bright, but he's not really the kid who gets expelled. He's just, like, the skater guy who does these really stupid things, and not because he's particularly, like, mean or anything, just because he thinks everything is funny and a joke. Like, I knew tons of these... like kids like that when I was in high school, like I knew a ton of them. They just did like really stupid crap all the time and they didn't really think anything through like that there would be consequences. But it's like a high school drama / investigative true crime series that's a parody.
Yeah,
it's funny with elements of Jackass thrown in, so I really enjoyed it. If you enjoy juvenile humor, you probably like it. Or those kinds of shows. I don't know. It's super silly. And I think each episode's like 20 something minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It made me laugh. And Noah was like, this isn't funny. And I was like, he said penis. He's talking about balls. It's hilarious. So I watched that. I'm watching Unsolved Mysteries. Teresa loved that show.
Oh my god!
And I was talking to Andy about it. She never saw it. I mean,
who's
I know she's
airing on Unsolved Mysteries now.
It's on Hulu.
What?
You can watch like all of it.
That's crazy. Do they do like follow-ups now, like 20 years later?
Well, it's just the old episodes.
No, none of them have been solved.
So it's from like, well, no, because while it was airing, they would update stuff. So all the old updates are there. They're like, update, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
But I mean, like, now, like, you know, some of those episodes are like 20 years old. And yeah. There's like all sorts of stuff that could update on those updates.
For those of you who don't know what Unsolved Mysteries is,
yeah.
It is like a, I almost said variety show. It kind of is. It was hosted by Robert Stack, and then they switched to somebody else. But it is a I won't even call it
Walsh,
news.
Right?
John. No, he did America's Most Wanted.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm mixing up my...
Yeah.
I'm missing
there's a bunch of those shows.
Yeah.
But Unsolved Mysteries was on from, like, 1987 or 1988 to, like, 2002 or something. There were a ton of episodes. But they had segments, so there would be, like, lost loves, murders.
And they do reenactments of them, right?
Yeah, they do.
So really crappy reenactments of, the, like, all these weird things, because they don't have, like, footage of anything that happened. They're just, like,
and they will, at least in the earlier episodes, which are the ones I started at the beginning, because I like to do that, they use the people who were actually involved in the Unsolved Mystery in reenacting. So they're not professional actors necessarily, which I really enjoy, but apparently you think is cringeworthy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they do all kinds of things, and I just love watching it for the 80s hair and the bad acting. And I love when they do updates. They're like, this person was found. And so they would have like, this couple murdered someone to steal a bunch of money, and then they fled. And then they're like, do-do-do-do-do-do, update. And then they were found in, like, Moses Lake, Washington. I was like, oh, I know where that is. and it makes you feel really good that, like, the neighbors are like, oh, I was watching Unsolved Mysteries, and I called the hotline. And, like, 8 hours later, the cops showed up and arrested these people. Like, it makes you feel really good about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just kind of silly, but I really like it. It makes me happy. So.
That's good.
And there are so many episodes.
A lot.
Yeah, I haven't even finished the first season yet,
oh
I don't
gosh,
think. But I'm just watching it randomly.
I have, like, the fortitude for that.
I also watched a documentary that's like 40 minutes long called Heroin that's on Netflix. And it is a documentary about heroin. So Huntington, West Virginia, I believe, is the overdose capital of the United States. Mm-hmm. So it follows three women, a judge, the first female fire chief, I think in the state maybe, and, like a street missionary who delivers brown bags to sex workers and tries to get them into shelters and into rehab and stuff. It just follows them like for a couple days and talks to them about what they do. Huntington is a working class town where there's just like, you know, it's very blue collar. People get hurt working on the job, and then they go on prescriptions, and they get addicted to their opioid medication. They can't get the prescription anymore, and then they get addicted to heroin, because they can get heroin easily. So the fire chief is working with the health department to try and get Arcan? Nurses are yelling at me. It's like the patch they put on that wakes them up. Like
Narcan.
Narcan.
Yeah.
I was almost there.
To revive someone in an overdose.
Yes. She's working with all the emergency services to train people and get them to use it. And then the street missionary, she's just like, you just ride along with her. She drives around at night, delivers a brown bag lunches. Checks up on girls, and then tries to get them into rehab. And then the female judge, she started a thing called Drug Court, where she coordinates, like, rehab programs with a program that she oversees to track people's progress and keep them out of the court system, and making them accountable for relapses. and, like, not showing up for their probationary meetings and stuff like that. So it's short. It's really interesting. I mean, obviously sad. There is some graphic stuff that happens, which I feel like is kind of necessary for that kind of documentary. But it was really interesting, and I like that it followed women, because I feel like a lot of times documentaries like that follow, like, the men in charge or whatever, right. And this was, like, three women who are, talk to each other and coordinate with each other, and they've had a lot of success, which cool. is cool.
Yeah.
Watching Great British Bake Off Masterclass, baking show Masterclass.
Love that show.
And just... Well, I never watched the Masterclass stuff before, which is Paul Hollywood and Mary Berry baking together.
I don't think
hit and miss for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I only watched a little of it. I didn't like it as much because he annoys me. And what I loved about watching Bake Off is the contestants and how nice they are to each other.
I mean, I generally like watching, like, cooking shows and stuff. Yeah. So, and I really like Mary Berry, and she puts Paul Hollywood in its place.
Yeah.
She's good at that. So... Yeah. So I made banana bread. That's what happened with that. And then finally I watched a movie in the movie theater. I went and saw It, which I thought was good.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a Stephen King, it's a remake. Well, it's based on the Stephen King book, It. It's the first half of a two-part thing. The first half is, the movie that came out now. It follows the kids. I feel like everyone knows what It is.
Terrifying clown.
Yes, called Pennywise. Basically, it's kids in this town, and they find out, like, all these children are disappearing. The main character, his little brother, disappears. And then they find out what it is, and they decide they're gonna go after it. So the second part that'll come out, I think, next year, is all the adults. Or the year after, I'm not quite sure.
All those kids who went
40 years later, because they
have to go back now.
Yeah, they do, like...
It's happening again.
They do, like, a history montage or whatever about the history of the town, and spooky music, research, library kind of thing, And find out that it's been happening after a certain period of years. So then when they... At the end of the movie... Well, they kind of make a pact. They're like, we gotta find out if this is gonna happen again. And if it does, we gotta come back. That doesn't really ruin anything, I don't think. No. I'm pretty sure everyone knows this story. Yeah. But Bill Skarsgård is really good as It. And I was, as Pennywise. Yeah. I was very leery because I liked the Tim Curry Pennywise.
Yeah.
So it's pretty different. He has, like, these big false teeth, so he just slobbers a lot, which is gross, but I feel like that adds
That's
to the
good for like an evil killer clown.
So, yeah, I had a couple problems with it, especially in their treatment of Beverly Marsh. She's the girl in the group of friends. Overall, I thought it was good, and I like the 80s vibe, like all the music and music references were all from the
80s. Next season of Stranger Things starts soon.
I know. I'll be watching Unsolved Mysteries until it comes.
Okay, yeah.
But the kid who plays the main character in Stranger Things is Richie in It.
Oh.
He's like the funny one. He tells a lot of your mom jokes, which I really enjoyed. I thought they were great.
Yeah, we ended up having to see the trailer for It like several times because of the film, going to see like PG, PG-13 rated films. At the end of the summer, and my younger son and I share our absolute inability to cope with scary stuff. So he was all freaked out from seeing all that, and I didn't like him. And, like, every time the commercials would start,
did you watch Get Out yet?
I still haven't.
Oh, it's really good.
I know it is.
And it's not really horror, it's more thriller.
I know. So. I really wanted to see it. It's one of those ones, though, where it's like we all want to see it, so we have to coordinate. And we're really not good at that.
Sucks for you.
I know. We're really not good at that, but we're like just like, and we're tired now. Okay.
Scary clowns, y'all.
Yeah. Okay. You can find us on our Ravelry group, which is DevilNet Podcast Fans. And show notes will be at DevilNet.net.
Send me chonies.
Send undies to clean new undies
clean
to
new
Aaron.
Universe to me.
To Aaron.
Thank you.
And yeah, until next time, which hopefully will be sooner than this time.
Yeah. Happy knitting.
Bye.
Bye. You told me a lie, yeah. When you packed your bags to leave, the tears fell like rain, yeah. As I watched you pack your bags to go, oh, I fooled you this time. But I just want to let it show that you were really old. Game.